Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory. This first Sunday of this year, 2010. Can somebody say hallelujah? You brought us through, Lord, the last year. And we are here this morning. And I know you have a word for us. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need a word from you, Lord. Because if we don't hear from you, what can we do? It is your word that gives life. And Lord, oh, that my tongue this morning will be as the pen of a ready writer. Oh, that the doctrine of the Lord will drop from my lips like honeydew to the glory of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Lord, we thank you because every time that we approach your word, we know the entrance of your word brings life. And Lord, glorify yourself in the message of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, this morning, oh my, you know, I'm so excited to preach this message. This is going to be a sequel to the message of frustrating the token of Elias. And this morning, it is called Table in the Presence of Your Enemies. Hallelujah. Oh yes, and you wait until you hear this message. In fact, I invite you after this message is over, you know, to listen to it again. It'll be on the website because this is the message that God wanted me to preach. I wanted to preach this message at the end of the year, and he said no, preach it on the first Sunday. So this is going to be, you know, something that is an imminent and prophetic significance to this message for what the Lord's going to do for you this year. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm starting at Psalm 23 and verse 4. Verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can somebody say amen to that? Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Now, you know, the psalmist, when he started this psalm, you know, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. So he started, you know, in the third, sense there, you know, third person. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me to lie down. So he's talking about the Lord, you know, and so forth. So he's talking about the Lord and so forth. And then he switched a little bit, and then he began to talk directly to the Lord. See? Now he began to talk directly to the Lord, and finally he said, you know, thou preparest a table. And that's the message this morning. And you wait until you hear the message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let me also say to this. The elect of God will have the last laugh. Can somebody say amen? And God, this year, 2010, is beginning to set into motion some things that will make you to have the last laugh. Amen. Well, only if you believe it, though. Because the word of God, if it's not mixed with faith in your heart, you know, it won't do you any good. One time a prophet of the Lord said, by this time tomorrow, because there was great famine in the land. And he said, by this time tomorrow, you know, things are going to change. Things will be so cheap and so forth. And one, you know, somebody said, oh, well, you know, that can't be even if the Lord opened the windows in heaven. And the prophet of the Lord said, well, it will be, but you won't taste of it. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. Now, that's not my subject today, but I want to encourage you to believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because there shall be a performance of those things that have believed, you know, that she believed from the Lord. That's what, you know, after the angel spoke to Mary and so forth, you know, her cousin told her, he said, well, blessed is the woman that believed. Because there shall be a performance of those things that she believed. You know, and if she didn't believe, maybe it wouldn't have happened. But God chose somebody that would believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's get to the message this morning. The Lord, this year, is going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And I'm going to tell you what that message means. See, we're going to find out exactly what that message means, what the Lord wants to do for you. Now, let's start right here. Remember the message of frustrating the tokens of Elias. Everything that the devil planned against you, you know, God frustrates it for you. Hallelujah. And for those of you that have waited patiently for the Lord, Psalm 40 verse 1, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. For those of you that have waited patiently for the Lord, the enemy, many times because of your waiting on the Lord, has thought to exact upon you. You know, in Psalm 89, we are told in verse 22 that the enemy shall not exact upon you. Amen? Oh yeah, but the enemy, he wants to exact upon you. And he has exacted upon many of you in the previous years, and especially last year, he exacted upon many of you. Well, I got news for the devil. Amen? Praise God. Oh yes. Hallelujah. And even for all your other enemies and so forth like that, you know. But let me say something. There is something that God does. This message is for those who have not taken, you know, the law into their hands, so to speak. You know, even as the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, he says, let me read that to you. Romans 12. Now, this is for those that follow the precept that is in this verse. And then God is going to turn things around for you. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Now this is for those that have not, you know, taken the law into their hands and, you know, try to repay evil for evil. This is for those that have waited patiently upon the Lord. God is going to turn things around for you. And he's going to make your enemies, you know, serve up on the table. And we're going to find out how he's going to do that, you know. So, I know that this is going to be a short message, but it's going to be a very important message. And I know that, you know, many people like to hear a good story when they go to church. You know, I don't like to take stories when I preach. I just like to bring the word. Amen? But today I will tell you a story or two, you know, but it will be from the Bible. Amen? All my stories are from the Bible, if you know, you know, how I preach. So I'm going to tell you two stories to illustrate this message this morning. Two stories from the Bible. But this last of the two stories is going to be the one where I really want to bring the message out. The first story that we are going to tell you this morning is the story of Joseph in the Bible. Now Joseph was, you know, the son of Jacob, the son of his old age, you know, some of you may know. And Jacob had many sons, you know, so, but because, you know, Jacob had a lot of sons, but because Joseph came when he was older, he kind of loved Joseph more than everybody else. So he bought him this rainbow coat. You know, some of you know that story. Everybody know that story? Let me see your hand if you know that story. Say amen. So anyway, he bought the rainbow coat, and his siblings, his older brothers, were jealous of him all the time, or envious, I should say. And, you know, so, and Joseph also had a gift. He had a gift of dreams, and he couldn't keep his mouth shut, you know, and running off his mouth sometimes got him into trouble, you know. And every time he'd say, well, you know, I saw this dream, you know, and they said, well, you know, they called him a dreamer of dreams, finally. And he said, you know, so he said, you know, he said to his brother, he said, look, you know, I saw this dream, you know, and I had my sheep, you know, all of us were in the farm, you know, and my sheep came up, and all your other sheep bowed to my sheep, you know. And then, you know, he angered his brethren even more by those dreams. He should have kept his mouth shut, but he kept, you know, he just kept saying. And finally, one day he said, well, you know, and he woke up one day, and, you know, he went to his dad and said, you know, hey, you know, this time I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, you know, and they made obeisance. They bowed down to me. And his father said, well, you know, I've heard everything, but this one, you know, are you trying to say that your mother and me and your brothers are going to bow? You know, but the Bible says his father observed the same. So his father kept that because his father was a man of God. So he observed that saying, and he kept it inside. Well, the brother says, bow down to you. You know, if we have a thing or two to say about that, that's not going to happen. You know, so we're not going to bow down to you, nothing. So one day they got a chance. See, they got a chance because he went to visit them and so forth, you know, where they were walking. And they saw him afar off. They said, aha, here comes that dreamer of dreams. We'll see what will become of his dreams now. We're going to fix that So those dreams will never come to pass. You know, so they decided within themselves that they're going to just kill him. You know, so one of his brothers, Reuben, he began to say, well, you know, let's not do that, see. Let's just throw him to this pit over here, because he had a mind to come back later and rescue him. Now, you can read some of these stories starting at Genesis chapter 39. You can read all of it. I mean, Genesis chapter 37. You know, and I'm going to read one verse from you there as I begin to, as I continue on summarizing this story. Genesis chapter 37. Now, so they, when he went to visit them, they said, well, you know, this is our chance to avenge, you know, all of these things that he's been saying and so on. So they decided that, you know, that they were going to get rid of him. So, and then they saw, what happened was they saw a band of travelers coming, you know, and they said, well, because you see, Reuben, he's one of his older brothers in chapter 37 of verse 21. You know, he didn't want them to kill him. So he said, don't do it. You know, he had a plan, because he didn't think that, you know, they should be guilty of that blood. You know, they all were envious of him, but he said, well, let's not shed any blood. Let's just do this over here. You know, so finally they stripped his clothes, you know, Joseph's clothes, and they killed a ram, dipped his clothes in the blood and so forth to make it look like he had been killed. They threw him into this dungeon and so on. And then they saw a caravan from Egypt coming, a slavery caravan. So they said, well, gee, you know, let's just go ahead and, you know, sell him over here. So finally they sold him, to cut a long story short, they sold him into Egypt. Now, some of you know that story, amen? So the caravan carried him into Egypt and so forth like that. Now, I'm going to skip ahead, you know, just fast forward the story, and then you can jump, you know, chapter 38, you know, because that was something else, and then jump, you know, to 39, and then, you know, read the rest of the story. But when you get to chapters 42 through 46 of Genesis, you're going to see where that dream came to pass. You're going to see where, you know, at that point in time, you know, you might say, well, those were his brethren. No, those were his enemies, because they wanted to kill him. Amen? I'm your brethren, your real brethren don't want to kill him, you know. So, you know, those people have become his enemies because of, you know, him running off his mouth about the dreams and etc. and so forth like that, you know. But here's one thing I want you to learn from that dream. I mean, and that sequence of events and that story, you know. In spite of the mistakes that Joseph himself made by running off his mouth, probably should have kept his mouth shut. In spite of all of that, the word still sustained itself. Hallelujah. See, you cannot do anything to hold back the purposes of God. What God has ordained in your life will come to pass. Amen. I don't care how many people say, well, you know, not if I have something to do about that. Whether they have something to do about it or not, you know, those are the tokens of the liars, like the message said last time. And God will frustrate all their tokens, and he will bring to pass his ordained plan for your life. Amen? Oh, he always does. Even if you make mistakes along the way, like Joseph did, he made some mistakes that got him into trouble. But nonetheless, God was watching over that world. Hallelujah. And God was actually making his enemies, his brethren, to serve up the plan of God. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. You know, that's where this message is leading to this morning. And you'll find out when I get to the second story. So God was making them to serve up that plan. See, because they thought, you know, we'll get rid of him and so forth. And they didn't know that. See, God, the all-seeing God, he already knew everything. God already knew about the famine that was coming. God already knew all of that. God was sending Joseph ahead. See. And he actually made his enemies to put him in position to become king over them. Hallelujah! That's right. They did too. You know, so, you know, they finally, and all of that came, and Joseph went to jail, did all that stuff and so forth, because Potiphar's wife lied up against him and so on. And finally, God elevated him at some point. That's not part of my story, so I want to skip through that. You know, the part of my story is when he finally became Lord over all the land of Egypt. His brethren that were in Israel heard you know, that there was food in Egypt where there was food nowhere else. Now, through the key, the very dreams, see, he was able to interpret, and by word of, not only the word of knowledge, but word of wisdom, was able to give Pharaoh an understanding of what to do about the famine, you know, the seven fat years and the seven lean years, and he, you know, he was finally got elevated over the whole land. And so his brethren came to buy corn, you know, and of in Egypt, you know, because they had heard. And when they came, see, because, see, they weren't expecting Joseph to be alive. And there's many years had passed. See, so they didn't recognize him, and he was clad with the, you know, the robe, you know, the Egyptian robe, and, you know, the crown and all of that, and the golden ring and so forth. So they didn't even recognize him. But as soon as he saw them, he recognized them. And when he recognized them, he said, oh, my goodness. So, you know, he had the last laugh. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Joseph got the last laugh anyhow. Because all his brethren, they bowed down before him, just like the dream said. Amen? Oh, absolutely. And Joseph had it, you know, he had some fun with them and so forth. And finally, you know, he made them go bring his younger brother, Benjamin, and so forth, that he wanted to see, and the father and so forth, and reconcile with them, finally, you know. But the message in that story is that Joseph got the last laugh. And not only did he get the last laugh, you know, those that thought to do him evil were the ones that actually served up the purpose of God in his life. That's right. Because, you know, by them thinking that they were going to sell him into slavery and so forth, they actually put him into position for them to become ruler over them. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yes. And beginning this year, 2010, the Lord will begin to put things into position in your life. So that even your very enemies and the ones that have said aha, aha against you, you know, they will be the very ones that will serve up the purpose of God in your life that's going to bring you up. Amen? Amen? Now wait until you hear this next story. Now this next story is taken from the book of Esther. And this story is not about Esther exactly, but it is about Mordecai. Esther's uncle. Now, Mordecai was the man who pretty much raised up Esther after Esther's parents died. And so he took Esther in his, you know, care and raised her up and so forth. So you can read chapters 3 through 8 of the book of Esther for this story. But I'm not talking about Esther this morning. I want to talk about Mordecai. Hallelujah, somebody. So we're going to see, you know, what happened in this story. Now, I'm going to dwell a little bit on this story because this is really, you know, where I'm going with this message this morning. Now, so let's turn to the book of Esther, if you will. And we're going to look at the story of Mordecai from about chapter 3. You know, some of you might know the story of Esther. In fact, the whole world knows the story of Esther now because they made it. A movie about this, you know, a couple years or so ago, you know, so, you know. But the part of the story that I wanted to talk about, you know, starts here in chapter 3 of Esther. Now, to give you a background to this story for some of you that may not know the story, you know, there was in those days, the people from the captivity and all of this, some of the Israel and so forth, you know, they were there, you know, with, you know, in this place. And this guy, his name is Ahasuerus. He was king over all of the provinces from one place all the way to the other, you know, everywhere that there was anybody, you know, he was king over, you know. And then in those days of his dominion, he had a king, he had a queen, her name was Vashti. You know, so she, one day the king sent for the queen, and the queen refused to come. See, in those days you didn't do that, you know. The king sent for you, you came. Didn't matter if you were the queen. Well, she didn't come, she was so beautiful and everything, and one day she just said, well, you know, enough of all that, you know, every day I come and so forth, I'm not going to do it. So she didn't go. Well, the king was very angry, You know, and she said, you know, call some of his counselors. I said, what should we do? They said, well, you know, get rid of her. Because if you don't, see, now, you know, all of a sudden all the other women will begin to despise their husbands. You know, because, you know, this woman, she despised the king. So nobody's going to respect their husbands anymore, and the whole family structure is going to break down. So get rid of her. So they gave him some advice and said, well, get rid of her, but who's going to be queen then? They said, well, you know, here's how you're going to do it. You know, let's look for, you know, all the young, beautiful virgins and so forth. Let them go through days of purification and all these things and so on. And we'll finally pick somebody. So that's how the story, and that's how Mordecai, he heard about that, and he put, you know, he put Esther into the beauty contest. Amen? That's like a pageant they had in those days. So he put Esther in there. Took them all almost 1 year to be purified. 6 months being purified with, you know, various things, and then another 6 months being purified with various fragrances and so on. At the end of the day, the Lord, working something out, had, you know, had given Esther favor before the king. So the king finally chose Esther. Can somebody say amen? Well, so that's the setting for the story. So when Esther was chosen, you know, she became queen and all of that. And then, you know, during the days that she was queen, there was this other man called Hanan who was, you know, began to have favor before the king. And then the king began to promote him and to be the lord of everything. And then he just made him bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. And so everybody in the kingdom, everywhere, used to bow down and make obeisance to this Hanan man, you know. And every time, you know, everybody did, except one man in the land. There was one man in the land that wouldn't bow down to this man. And his name was Mordecai. And he sat at the king's gate, at the entrance of the king's gate, and every time Hanan would come by, everybody would bow, you know, and prostrate before him and so forth. This man, Mordecai, he refused to do it. Because in his heart, he said, I'm going to bow only to the Lord God. Hallelujah. So this, he really got under the skin of this Hanan. I mean, Hanan, he would just scratch his head. He went home and he talked to his wife, said, look, you know, I've got almost the whole kingdom eating out of my hands here. But this man, he wouldn't even give me any respect. You know? And, you know, I've seen some stories in the Bible where some wicked people and so forth, you know, man, you know, and their wicked wives, we really won't outdo them, you know, and so forth. Thank God for godly women. Amen? Oh, yes. And this woman said, well, you know, oh, yeah, you know, she gave him some ideas of how to deal with him and so forth like that, you know. And so everything just started piling up in this story, and it went, you know, on and on and on and on like that. So finally, he got some ideas from his wife. The wife said, well, gee, isn't he one of the Jews? Say, yeah. Well, here's what you're going to do then. Don't you have favor with the king? Say, sure, I do. Well, fine. You go to the king then and, you know, ask the king to give you permission to make a declaration against the Jews. Get rid of all of them. Get rid of Mordecai and his entire, you know, people. Just kill them all. Amen. Some of you think that Hitler was the first one that tried to get rid of all the Jews. Oh, no. You know, right here. They wanted to get rid of all the Jews. You know, so, you know, they said, ah, that's a good idea. So he went to the king, this Hanan guy, and he asked the king a favor. And the king said, whatever, you know. So the king gave him his ring, you know, and with his ring, when you write, you know, something in the name of the king and you put the ring on it and you send it out, it's kind of like a stamp, the seal, you know, like you put a seal of the state of Arizona or the seal of the United States of America. You know, put that in, nobody can turn down or go against that writing. So he wrote, and he chose a day, and he said, on this particular day, on this 13th day of this month here and there, let all the Jews that are in the land be killed. That was his decree. And the king just signed it, because the king didn't care, you know, didn't even read it anyway. So he said, yeah, that's fine, you know, just do whatever you want. So he made a proclamation over all the land. So when Mordecai heard of it, he went and put ashes over his head and sackcloth and began to weep and pray and cry and so forth. And say, Lord, why would all of us be destroyed? So he sent for Esther, who was the king. Now God had put Esther in position. Amen? Amen. So he sent for Esther, that was the king. I mean, queen. So Esther said, you know, so he sent a message to her, you know, and said, well, here's what's happening, you know, so you've got to make petition to the king. And Esther said, well, I can't go before the king if he doesn't call me. You know the law. If he calls me, I can go. But if he doesn't call me and I show up, you know, I might be killed. You know, except he, you know, raises up the golden scepter in his hand to say it's okay. And then, you know, so Mordecai tells her straight. He said to her, he said, well, if you don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else to do it. And then you and your father's house will be put to shame. You know, but the Bible says that Esther used to obey Mordecai even when, you know, even as when she was a little girl. So that's something to learn from. She kept obeying Mordecai every time, even when she was a grown woman. She was still obeying him. So she said, all right, I'm going to do what you say. You know, so she went, you know, and she said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, why don't you gather all of Israel together, everybody, let them pray and fast for me 3 days and three nights. Nobody should eat. And I'm going to do the same. Then I will prepare myself and go before the king. And if I perish, I perish. But if you pray, God will give us favor. Amen? So she went before the king. And, you know, the king didn't call her. And she went and stood, you know, at the entrance of the king's, you know, throne room. And the king was sitting on his throne in his regalia and everything. And he lifted up his eyes and saw her and said, you know, so he lifted up the scepter. So that was the first victory. And then she could come. And when she came, she touched his scepter. That means it's okay for you to come even though the king didn't call you. You know, so. And the king said, all right, what will I do for you? What is it? You know, because the king loved her so much. And she said, she, you know, the king said, I'll give you anything. Even up to the half of the kingdom. Anything at all. What is it that you want? And Esther said, well, here's what I want. I want to make a banquet. Amen? I want to make a banquet, and I want to invite you and your very special lord that you have put above all the kingdom. I want to honor both of you in this banquet. And the king said, oh, is that all? She said, well, you know, for now, you know. So he said, all right, that's good. So she said, and the king said, who's this person? He said, Hanan. He said, all right. So the king gave the invitation. So Hanan, he heard the news. So when Hanan heard the news, you know, he put up his chest like he said, now that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know, I'm the man. See, in all the kingdom, I'm the only one that the king would invite with the queen to this feast. So he went home. He bragged up all the place. He called his family. He told his wife, said, man, you know, I mean, I thought the king had really set me up. But now, I got it made. You know, I'm the only one, you know. So he's so happy and everything. He said, you know, so they went, you know, to the feast and everything. You know, so finally, you know, it was a couple of days of the feast. So Esther, she said, you know, come to the feast every day, you know. So they went, you know, and then God began to move. See, this is where God goes into action. See, this is where God goes into action. Can somebody say amen? Oh, yes. The Bible says that the king, one day, you know, during this period of Esther's feasting and so on, he just, all of a sudden, he couldn't sleep. See, God began to move upon him. You know, when God wants to do something, kings, you know, monarchs, presidents, they mean nothing to the Lord. The Bible says the king's heart is in his hands. Can somebody say amen? So God put a spirit of unrest upon him. He couldn't sleep in the night. You know, he couldn't sleep. And he kept saying, bring me the books of records. See? And there's one part of the story that I left off because I want to tell it at this point. This same Mordecai that we are going to talk about, that we're talking about in this story, there was a time when he had saved the king's life. See? He had saved the king's life. There were two people that were planning a coup against the king. See, and Mordecai heard of it. They were planning to lay wait for the king and so forth. There were two people that had access to the king. You know, people like in the secret service, if you want to say it that way. You know, and so they had access, you know. You know how the secret service has access to the president? Secret service is always around the president. You know, so it doesn't go anywhere without the secret service detail. You know, so, you know, these people, they had access, you know, and they said, you know, they had a beef against the king. So they wanted to take him out. So Mordecai, he got wind of that. And he sent word to the king. And the king found out about it and found out it was true. And he summarily executed those guys. So Mordecai saved the lives the life of the king at that time. And they wrote it in the book of records. But nothing was done for him. There was no reward. There was no whatever. And Mordecai didn't ask for anything. Amen? He was just doing his civic duty. He didn't go to the king to complain, oh, you know, you should have done this, you didn't do this, and so forth, because I saved you. He didn't say anything. You know, and you know, this thing went on for a long time. No reward was given to him. Finally, until this time. And at this time, God suddenly brought a spirit of unrest over the king. And in the night, he said, I can't sleep. Bring me the record books. For what purpose? I mean, we're feasting here. Esther is doing the feast, and everybody's happy. What's the reason? You know, God is working. Bring me the record books, he said. And then they brought the record books, and then he said, you know, and he was reading, and they found a place of the deed of Mordecai, where he had saved the life of the king. And so Mordecai said, and the king said, wait a minute, this Mordecai, who is here anyway? Is he still around? He said, oh, sure. Did we ever do anything for him? He said, no, we didn't. And he said, all right. So at that point in time, here comes Hanan for the feast. See, this is how God works. Hanan just came in for the banquet at that very time. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So when he came for the banquet, the king said to him, oh, Hanan, oh, what am I going to do here? So let me read this to you in Esther chapter 6. This part here, I love it so much that I want to read it. Esther chapter 6, and I'm going to read, you know, from verse 1 is the story that I've been telling you, that in the night the king couldn't sleep and all of that and so on. And then, you know, this, you know, they found out that it had to be, you know, he wanted to do something for Mordecai. So finally, Hanan came into the court, you know, for the banquet. See? And in verse 6 of Esther chapter 6, so Hanan came in. And the king said unto him, now listen to this. The king said to Hanan, you know, after he read, you know, because Hanan wasn't there when the king read all of those things, so Hanan didn't know. See, so, you know, but he came in for the feast that Esther had invited him and the king only to. And meanwhile, God had prepared the king for something to do for Mordecai. So you see how God's working everything together? So Hanan came in, and then the king said, oh, come on in, come on in. You know, I've got something to ask of you. So he says to him, what shall be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor? That's the question. Now, so Hanan thought within himself that, oh, who else would the king want to honor except me? I'm the only one in the feast. I'm the only one in the kingdom. Nobody else. Amen? So he comes up with this incredible thing because he thinks it's for himself. Amen? Talk about God using your enemies to serve up the table for you. He comes up with this incredible thing. He said, here's what the king is going to do. Let the king put upon him his regal crown and everything and give him all the pomp and glory and do all of this thing and put a ring on his hand and proclaim throughout the land that he's the greatest and he's the this and he's the that and so forth like that. You know? And he, all the time in his mind, he's thinking, oh my, this guy is the limit. I've got everything right here. You know? So he comes and says, oh, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought in, which the king used to wear, and let the horse of the king rise. King's horse! He didn't even say the second best one. Oh no. He said, the very king's horse. Amen? Is somebody still with me? Yeah. Well, you'll find out where this story is going. He said, let the king's horse come in, you know, and so forth like that. Let them put the royal crown, see, upon his head. And let his apparel and his horse be delivered to the hand of one of his king's most noble princes, that they may array the man, see, the man whom the king delighted in, they may array him with this and so forth, and bring him on horseback throughout the streets of the city. And then proclaim him, that this shall it, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. You know, he said, you know, let them just glorify him all over the place and so forth. And the king said, I like it. I like it. Hallelujah. The whole time, Hanan is thinking in his mind, oh yeah. So he said, the king said, I like it. He said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. He called them and said, bring the royal apparel. And he gives it into the hand of Hanan. He said, Hanan, bring in Mordecai.
Can somebody say hallelujah? You cannot put it upon his head.
Making your enemies to serve up the table. Setting the table in the presence of your enemies. And making them to serve.
Hallelujah. So Hanan, he serves up the glory to Mordecai.
Oh yes. Hanan is the man that puts this thing. He puts the crown on Mordecai. He sets him upon the horse. You know. Amen. And the king said, let nothing fail of this thing which has been spoken. You go through the city and you do exactly as you say. Oh my. Verse 11. Then took Hanan the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai. This was the very Mordecai that Hanan had put a decree not only to kill him but all his kindred on a certain day that was yet future. Hallelujah, somebody. Can somebody say hallelujah? And he said, and then he brought him on horseback throughout the city and proclaimed him to be the highest. Basically, except for the king, you know. My goodness. And then they did all of that, you know, and Mordecai, you know, oh my. So when they did all of that, you know, so Hanan, he went home, you know, this Haman guy or whatever his name was, he went home, Haman was his name. I kept saying Hanan. Haman was his name. So he went home and he was so distressed. You know, he was buried in shame. He said, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to me now? I begin to see that I'm in trouble now. You know. Oh, but that was not all. Oh, that wasn't all. You know, so, you know, he had to come to the feast already because he'd been invited. So, well, finally when he came to the feast, you know, the queen, you know, she made the king ask her again, what is your petition? I know you don't just call this feast and so forth. There's something that you want of me. And you've not asked anything. You just keep asking us every day, come to this feast and so forth. And then the king kept asking her. She waited. See, by the spirit of the living God leading her, she waited until Hanan was already disgraced. Amen? Oh yes. And God already promoted Mordecai by the very hands of the man who wanted to destroy him. Can somebody say amen? So finally Esther says, well, here is the deal. You know how I'm from the Jewish people? He said, of course. You know, I know that. He said, well, if I have found favor in your sight. She knew he had found favor in his sight. He said, well, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleased the Lord, my king, and so forth like that, you know, let the king hear my request. Say, speak already. This request, you know, just say. So she says to him, well, there is somebody that has determined to destroy all my kindred. And that's going to affect me too. He said, destroy your people? He said, yes. He said, who is this person? Tell me who this person is. I'm going to take off his head. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. And the queen said, you're looking right at him. He's sitting right here with us on the table. King said, Haman? She said, yes. He said, remember that time he came to you with the decree and all of that and so forth? You know, I'm embellishing the story a little bit, you know. And then she said, and the king said, so the king said, well, what would you want me to do? She said, well, you know, reverse the writing that of Haman so the people will not be destroyed. The king said, well, it can't be reversed. Once it is written with the king's ring, it cannot be reversed. But here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you an opportunity for you to make your own writing. Amen? You write anything you want. See? So the king, so, you know, Esther, he called her, you know, she called the people and so forth like that. You know, they wrote their own thing that the Jews should defend themselves and fight and destroy all of their enemies before they get a chance to destroy them. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. But there is one part of the story that I left behind because I wanted to say it now. During the time that Haman had gone to his wife and asked about all of these things that Mordecai was doing to him and, you know, getting under his skin and wouldn't bow to him and so forth. And the wife had, you know, said so many things, destroy him and so forth. They had told him you know, they had arranged how they're going to build the gallows, how, where they're going to hang him and so forth. So they built the gallows and built and says, this is the place where we're going to hang this man, and we're going to kill the rest of all this. So they built the gallows right there in Haman's house, you know, where they're going to hang Mordecai and then kill all his family, all his kindred and so forth, you know. So at the time when Esther presented her case, you know, and this man was utterly in trouble before the king, this Haman man, you know, another one of the king's lords just walked in the door right at that point in time. He said, in fact, you know, corroborate Esther's story, that this man, Haman, has already built gallows that he was planning to hang Mordecai on. The king said, Mordecai? The man who saved my life? The man who I just honored? Quickly, take this Haman and hang him on the very house. Hallelujah, somebody! On the very gallows that he built. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So who got the last laugh? Who got the last laugh in that story, people? See, Mordecai got the last laugh. Not only did he get the last laugh, you know, God exalted him by the hand of his very enemy. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, let me bring the prophetic significance of this message. You know, you all enjoy that story, you know. But let me now tell you the prophetic significance of this story. Beginning this year, 2010, hallelujah, somebody, God will set things in place for you. Amen? Because he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. See, but for those of you that take the law into your hands and try to avenge yourself, you cannot get this blessing. You must leave it to the Lord. Can somebody say amen? And God will avenge you. Oh yes, did not the Bible say in Luke chapter 18, did Jesus not say in verse 16 that for the elect of God, I mean verse 6, for the elect of God that cry unto him night and day, that he will avenge them speedily? Oh yes. Behold, saith the Lord, I will avenge my elect. And beginning this year, they shall see the hand of the Lord in their life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God, he will cause your enemies to serve up the meat on the table. God will not only prepare the table, your enemies will be the ones serving on the table. Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh yes. You know, and everyone that has desired to do you hurt and harm, God will not only turn it around, but here's what God says. He says he will reward you openly. What God is going to do for some of you this year, see, even though he's going to promote you, that's not enough. He's not going to promote you in the corner. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody! He's going to do it publicly, and it will be your enemies that will shove it up. Can somebody say amen? Amen? That's right. Now if you believe it, you can shout hallelujah. Amen. If you believe it, you can give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Oh, you don't sound like people that believe it. If you believe it, stand to your feet and shout hallelujah. Stand to your feet and shout hallelujah in here this morning. Give the Lord a big hand clap here this morning to believe it. Behold, saith the Lord, I will prepare that table before you this year. Your enemies will see it and they will be ashamed. The humble will see it and they will be glad. Hallelujah, somebody! This is the year that the Lord begins to do that for some of you. Amen? But you must patiently wait for the Lord. You cannot, the moment you take the law into your hands, you forfeit this blessing. I am the Lord, and vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord. And I will repay every man according to his work. Hallelujah, somebody. So you don't worry about anything that anybody says or is doing or not doing. You leave it in the hands of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He's already shown me something. I don't have time. You know, maybe in subsequent message I'll bring it. He's already shown me something that he's going to do for some of you beginning this year. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And as I was preparing for this message, I began to seek the Lord in prayer, in fasting, and so forth. And I said, Lord, God, the Bible says, ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. Amen. Until he make until he make Jerusalem, is what he said. But I said, Lord, until you make my people that you have given me a praise. See, because see, I'm not responsible for all the believers in the world. You know, although I pray and I love all the brethren and so forth, I'm responsible for this church right here. Hallelujah. You know, so help me God. You know, I'm going to put my sweat and my prayer until I see that God elevates everybody. And the purpose and the plan of God comes to pass in your life. And I have been seeking God and asking him, what are you going to do for your people this year? You know, and I wanted to preach this message at the end of the year. He said, no, that's exactly what I'm going to do for them this year. So you preach it on the first day of the year. Hallelujah, somebody. On the first Sunday of the year. Now God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means they will see it. Now let me bring it down to your level. On the job. Hallelujah, somebody. The Bible says, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Everyone that gathers against you shall fall for your sake, saith the Lord. On the job, maybe you have some muttering and peeping spirits that gather together to mutter against you and so forth. Don't worry about it. You just praise the name of the Lord. The moment you try to defend yourself, you have lost the benefit of this message. Because I will repay, saith the Lord. You just leave it in God's hand. When you see them, say, God bless you. Hallelujah, somebody. You say, you bless them, because that's how you are going to heap coals of fire on their head. But you don't worry about, you know, taking, you know, revenge or anything. Just leave it in the hands of God. You know, when God is going to set you up, he will appoint a day that they will be the ones serving up that certificate of honor to you. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. They will be, God will promote you, and they will be your subordinates. That's right. Because God knows what he's doing. No matter where you are, any place in life, in business, the same thing. Your business associates, you heard the brother's testimony. You know, God already is serving up for him. Amen. All his enemies on that business, they served up on December 31st. They sold up everything. Hallelujah, somebody. For months, they've been going through that. You know, and they collided and colluded and did everything to get rid of him. You know, but at the end, they sold up. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yes, and that's what God's going to do for every one of you. Praise God. Raise your hand this morning and let's believe the Lord together. If you believe that message, say hallelujah. Say, I receive it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, pray and thank God for this message. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, before I close this service this morning, I'm going to give somebody a chance. If you say, I want to experience that in my life this year, I want to see the Lord prepare that table before me. I'm not going to pray for individuals this morning because time is fast spent. But I'm going to invite you to show the Lord some faith here this morning. Show the Lord that you believe this message. If you believe that that message is for you this morning, I want you to come out here quickly. And then we are going to seal it in prayer. If you believe that God is going to make your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah, somebody. God will make your enemies your footstool. They will serve up the table. If you believe it, come on everybody, as you are here, lift up your hands and thank the Lord. But I charge every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, I charge you this morning, avenge not yourselves. You leave it in the hands of the Lord. But this year, he will lift up your head. Hallelujah, somebody. He will lift up. Now, join your hand with somebody. On the left, on the right, join your hand with somebody. And let's seal this prayer. Let's believe the Lord together. Hallelujah, somebody. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a message like this. We thank you for an opportunity to believe the word of God. This year, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to say, Lord. Say with me, Lord. This year, you have prepared a table before me already. And in the presence of my enemies. And thou will make even my enemies to serve up the meat for me on the king's table.
Hallelujah! Give the Lord a praise and a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now this is what church is all about. A message of hope. A message of deliverance. Your deliverance is coming. Because the Lord said the set time is here. A time to favor his people. And that's for every one of you. I'm going to close this in prayer right now, Lord. Hallelujah. You say, I have no enemies. Yes, you do. That devil is your enemy too. Amen. Because somebody said that in his heart, and I just pulled that out by the Holy Spirit. You know, that devil is your enemy too. And this year, he will kiss the dust under your feet. Hallelujah, somebody. He said, my God shall bruise the devil under your feet shortly. Beginning this year, you begin to see it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, as we rejoice in you and believe, oh Lord. Thank you because the word will sustain itself. And it will not return void. And this message, hallelujah, it will take hold in the lives of your people. And God will watch over it. And it will come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. The king's table will be set for you. And God will make you sit on that table. And your enemies will be in waiting. They will be in attendance. They will be serving up on the table. For the Lord will now reward you openly for your patience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a praise and a hand clap at the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may go back to your seats. We're going to close the service now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you all enjoy that?
Yeah.
If you enjoyed it, shout hallelujah and give the Lord a praise. Yeah.